It's Fallen Dominoes Monday. What are we in? March 29th. Monday, March 29th. Yeah, and Greg McDill, Willie Red Pill, you there, Will?
I am.
All right. Well, there's some crazy stuff going on right now with this Stop Asian Hate, and they're saying white people are hating Asians now, and also that Derek Chauvin trial that up in Minnesota started today for the George Floyd thing. So those are some pretty, they're obviously pressing really hard on the race thing right now. I'm everywhere on throughout the media. It's just really, really hard, you know, and basically, but in real life, like when I go through day-to-day interactions, you know, there's never, I don't ever have any problems with Black people, or vice versa. It seems like it's a whole made up thing. It really doesn't exist, really, except for when they need it.
You're breaking up there, Greg.
Oh, great. Great. That's not good. I'm going to try plugging in direct.
I think you're good now. I don't know. Maybe you just
stopped better?
Maybe it's me.
Yeah. Is this better? Okay. That's I think I have a bad wire.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, I think I have a bad wire. Anyway, that's all I was saying is that they're really pressing on the race card hard right now. And
yes,
that's the thing, right? That's what they're doing. That's all they're concentrating on.
Yeah.
It's
about taking away guns from mostly, you know, white people, of course. So,
the gun thing.
Yeah, they're really coming after that. They need everyone defenseless so they can murder them. I mean, that's really what's going to happen.
Oh, that's really what it is. Sure, as soon as
that's
you keep
what's
going to
happen. What they're going to do now? They've made it very clear that they're after. They're out for blood. They're out for blood. They want us dead. They want us wiped out. They've been making it very clear for a very long time.
Right.
Our struggle is that we don't. So many of us are still watching the stupid television. You know, just get rid of the television. You just don't need the television. It's unnecessary. You're poisoning your brain. You're ruining your life by watching the television.
It's the devil in the living room. You don't turn on the. That's what you've invited the devil right into your living room as soon as you turn it on. Come on in!
Everybody is on the chopping block, you know. They want to get rid of 95% of the population of the world.
According to what they've written down, right?
They were living in the greatest horror movie ever. And then you have to go talk to your family members, and they all think that we haven't achieved herd immunity yet because the vaccine hasn't quite worked yet. And the first round of the vaccine is I don't know for sure because there's different vaccines, right? There's different companies with different vaccines. And some of them are hurting people.
Sorry.
But I think the strategy, Greg, is that with that vaccine is to make the first one, you know, somewhat innocuous. And then other family, then they can talk other family members into taking it that were on the fence about it. Opposed to it. They see it wasn't so bad, but there's like, you know, for the rest of your life, you're going to be taking a vaccine. And so that's.
And that's the idea with that vaccine passport that they're going to want to, that they're, you know, of course, that's part of the goal. And it's like, you can't get it updated until you have your booster shot each time. You know? That's when you get another. This should scare the living daylights. They're getting out their guns in England and Australia. They can now put them in for a Facebook post.
So tonight we have your friend, right? And you've been meaning to get. I think you were. He was going to come on some time ago.
Well, he was supposed to call. He hasn't called in yet, and I don't know why. He just told me an hour ago that he said yes. I said, "Oh, are you ready to go in an hour?" And then and I told him, "Texas, we started up, and now I don't know what's going on. I'm not getting. You haven't been supposed to talk to you about all this. So I should try and
I really love to talk to you.
Yeah, me too.
If you're listening, Daryl, please call in. We do. We just like really want to talk to you about all this stuff. Greg says great things about you. And, man, we got to come together and understand what we're all up against here.
Yeah, it's just nice. It's the war against everybody. I mean, it seems like the white male is definitely the one that is being completely singled out the most, but they really want everybody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're just using, people like they've always done. I mean, everybody is a slave to them.
Right.
So, go ahead. And one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight was the Jewish role in the transatlantic slave trade, particularly Africans from Africa to the Americas. Now, that's not the only slave trade that's existed, of course. We all know this, and white people have been traded as slavery just as much, maybe even more. I don't know the exact numbers. There was that period of time when blacks were traded as slaves from the, 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s. What's up? What do you mean, oh boy?
My phone. This radio. Can't get out. Keep cutting out. I'm having a really hard time with these wires. Keep going. What were you saying about, you're talking about the...
Am I cutting out too? I want to talk about Louis Farrakhan's book.
Right.
And then you brought up the...
I'm hearing you okay,
you
William.
Talk about Derek Chauvin.
Right, yeah, that's what's going on right now, is that trial. They just started it. And this, who knows, like, okay, say, what if he's found, you know, innocent or whatever? Our city's going to burn, and, you know, they got rid of Trump. That's what they wanted.
I mean, just considering how corrupt everything is and how just right blatant in our faces it is with the corruption, it seems like if the hand of justice is going to fall on the truth, that of course they'd let him off.
It should, I mean, that's how they were trained. It's obviously Israeli-style training. They're going to say that, you know, this is part of the training. Because I was hearing people say, oh, well, that's not how they're trained. Oh, no, it is how they're trained. And that are trained by Israel. That's how they're trained.
Right.
They treat everybody like Palestinians.
Right. Yeah, so, that's when that all began, right?
Sure.
The Israeli Defense Force, the IDF, is coming over here and training on our police officers.
It's that Krav Maga.
Particularly in places like Minnesota, from what I understand.
Yeah, I doubt it. Oh, you know they were directly. And if that'll never come up in trial, that'll, you know, they might say for their training, but they're not going to say where their training's from.
Somebody came.
Hey, this is me. Hey, Darnell, are you there, buddy?
Yep, this is me. Can you hear me?
Hey, yeah, we got you. Hey, great.
Hey.
Cool. I'm so glad that you called it. I thought it'd be really great to have you on the show again, because what's going on right now, it's just some crazy stuff, ain't it? That trial and everything started today?
Yeah. I saw it. I caught wind of that, and it's like they're just playing it out, man. They're just drawing it out. And, you know, it's just more drama to the George Floyd thing, and, you know, they're trying to make it a lot more serious than what it is, and I see through it all, man. It's just getting crazy.
They're really pressing on the race card really hard right now, and like Willie was saying earlier, what do we do now? We need solutions, you know, because they're just jamming on it like never before. They're really, now what's this Asian hate crap, right?
Yeah, it's just it's the last resort, because it's like all these years, you know, people have been noticing, they've been seeing that the media's been pushing this white perpetrator black victimhood narrative, and now that's running thin. You know, it's getting weaker. So the next thing is that they're targeting Asians, and they're doing the same sensationalist MK Ultra program through the media to the Asian population, just like they did to blacks. The blacks see it through already, and they're like, okay, you know what, they're waking up, so we're going to have to target a new group, and now they're switching to Asians.
Ah, so you really do think black folks are waking up more? That's great news.
To some degree, yeah. We're becoming more outspoken, and that's on YouTube. If you look at YouTube, you got Candace Owens.
Candace, I was going to talk about her, yeah! I love her!
I do, too.
Man, oh, yeah, because she's, okay, I just saw a meme from, let's see here, I found something from her. Or is it? Oh, no, it's not. Anyway, she's saying, I'll find it. But, yeah, okay. Oh, I like this one by her. Here, I'll send it to you right now, that one. I'm sending them to your text here. That one, and then we could talk about it. She... Anyway, so you're saying that people are becoming more outspoken. Black people are becoming more outspoken. They're definitely starting to notice that this narrative is running really thin.
Yep, absolutely. So with Oscar Tatum, with Candace Owens, you got Anthony Brian Logan, you got Colin Noir, you got these four major YouTube personalities that are coming about, and also you got Abba and Preach. So it's more and more that these popular black content creators are used to, they're exposing the racial agenda. All of them, like, they're not working in tandem, but they're all speaking out about it. They're all exposing the tricks that the media has been playing on blacks. And to some degree, even, like, in the real world, I come across black people who also share their awareness about it. Now, I don't know if they follow the people or the content creators' YouTube, but they told me about what their personal research has led them to. And they're like, well, you know what? This whole media thing is just a game. We've been playing since the Rodney King. And now we're just waking up to it. We're just not waking up to it. It's all a mind program thing. So that's what's happening. So in the real world, I've talked to several blacks, and they let me know, and they even share the same information that of what they found out about what's happening just as much as I do.
So how close is someone like Candace to naming the Jew? I saw something recently. She said, oh, but who owns the media, when she's having that little fight with Cardi B? You know, and it's like, well, you're getting really close to saying something, and then more than getting canceled, well, she's not, do you think they'll ever say it? Because they got to know that, who's behind pressing this.
I don't think so. I don't think she'll ever directly say it's the Jews.
Right.
But she's throwing a lot of strong hints out there. She wants people to ask.
So do you think she knows?
Yeah, but she's not allowed to say it because she's in the public sphere. Her face is out there, especially in the internet world. So if she doesn't say something, she knows for a fact that her character will be assassinated. You know how Jews are. They do character assassination.
If not literally, her body.
If not literally.
Right.
Yeah. And see, and they don't do that anymore. See, the thing is, when the Illuminati was found out, you know, when people found out about the blood sacrifices in Hollywood and Black Hollywood, people were just like, holy crap, you know, who's running this? And for me, after I learned about the Illuminati and the magic that they practice, it all traces back to the Jewish Kabbalah magic or mysticism. So they offered a lot of blood sacrifices for exchange of power,
And
still do it.
You know, whoever's on the face, they'll sit there and use that person to manipulate them. And if not, they choose them as a blood sacrifice. And that goes to Jewish mysticism. And it's just, I don't want to get off too much topic, but that's the surface of what I know what's happening.
Well, they're pretty much on topic because we know who is wringing their hands behind this whole race nonsense. Because, like I was saying earlier, in the real world, I don't run into these problems with black people or Asian people or anything like that. You know, like one of my best friends, I know that sounds, you know, that's the classic, I'm not prejudiced. One of my best friends is this or that. But one of my best buddies is a Chinese guy. And we hang out all the time. And he says the same thing, that nobody hates him because he's Asian. He doesn't run into that at all.
No. Hey, you know what? The thing is this. Most people are just trying to live, right? Most people, they're going to school, they get the degree, they get a degree, they get a paid job. Their goal is to live comfortable and get the best out of life possible. What would be the reason? What would they gain if all they're doing is focusing and diverting their own personal energy to spreading hate? What is there to gain from that besides spreading misery and making yourself look bad in front of your community? What would anyone gain from that?
Right. So it's the TV, like Willie was saying, right, Willie? I mean, what do? How do you get people to turn the dang TV off?
But it's...
All right.
Not just that, but throw it in the trash can.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but
really, it's still...
The drawback is...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The drawback is... Hooked onto it. I was going to say the drawback is that people are still hooked to TV. TV is not something that's easily getting rid of because now we got our laptops, we got our tablets, we got our cell phones. So communication, even outside of TV, communication is still big. And in order for the Jews to lose complete control, we'll have to lose all forms of communicative technology.
Right.
I mean, that's the most direct and effective form.
Because they control all that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They control all
these forms.
Or they invest into it so it can get as big as it is right now.
Right.
The smartphones, the tablets. I'm sure there's a huge amount of Jewish investors in these technologies. But as far as to say who's investing in what, I can't say for sure.
Well, pretty much all of us know where it all traces back to, and we use our real names, and we still name the Jew. I mean, and that's even today that can get you in trouble, you know. And I don't know if that's getting any better or not, because people are becoming more aware of it. But I think if they're in the public eye at all, you're right; they don't say anything.
No, but you know what? I still think that the Jews have a big hand with the big tech like Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and Google and the other social media platforms. I do still think that the Jews like Sheryl Sandberg, Mark Zuckerberg, Susan Wojcicki, who's the CEO of YouTube, they're all Jews. Wow. So they're still doing their censoring. so I do.
Right.
That's out there, you know.
Yeah, man. I mean, because it used to be that's what the only thing you could get censored for on Facebook and things like that was talking about them or talking about the Holocaust or saying anything good about Hitler. Those were the things before that were really pretty much the only things you could get banned for. And we used to all get banned for that stuff, of course, was talking about them. And now, literally, you could say, like, I don't even know where their boundaries are. There isn't just anything. Anything can get you just off, just banned.
Yeah,
you don't even
especially
have to be
conservative
close
talking points. Especially conservative talking points that had conservative talking points, like if you're libertarian, you're conservative, and you speak out against government, you speak out against welfare. I've gotten banned for that stuff too, you know. And I had black people came on my page and reported my post, and I've gotten banned for 30 days because I've spoken out against the government or any other agency or government agency that was controlling social media. And it's like I would stand up against that. So what for me, acknowledging what Hitler did to now, you know, if I was talking about, you know, we should just reduce the amount of regulations in our states and our cities so we can have better businesses, I can get banned. So in the case of me trying to let everybody know the truth, it went for me trying to, as a black man, it went for me trying to expose everybody to the truth about Adolf Hitler after seeing that document, that wonderful documentary, The Greatest Story Never Told. It's amazing. To this day, like, I think 12 years of watching it, I still can't get that out of my head. It's like, it just opened my eyes up, and I start connecting the dots and everything, and it's like, this is how they're doing it. This is how he was fighting against the Illuminati, this Jewish, controlled entity. And now it's like, if he would have won the war, America wouldn't be controlled by the Zionist protocol or AIPAC or whatever.
Of the communists, you know, he was basically really fighting communism, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he was fighting communism, and communism won the war. And anybody who thinks that the good guys won, you're a commie. I'm sorry. You're a freaking commie.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
It, you know? Because that's...
absolutely.
It's crazy. That people don't realize it, but they are. You're rooting for the communists. Every time you say, you know... the Nazis, and that's who you're rooting for. That's who won. Who's taking over everything. Mm-hmm. They don't even know it.
It's monumental. It's so much gravity behind the truth that it's just way too much for people to even
process. It's the biggest lie there is, man.
They're just dead of a heart attack. If people were to find about Hitler today, right now, if history were to take that documentary and aired it, you know how many people were dropped dead of a heart attack because the truth is so overwhelming?
They all think that their grandpa was a hero, or their Uncle Willie was a hero, or whatever. Yeah. When he was, we all know what they did, the Allies did to Germany afterwards. One of the biggest crimes ever in the history of the world.
Dresden, the history of Dresden after they bombed it.
More than Dresden,
had nowhere to go, and American allies and all the other forces just like, it's. You know, free for all, and they started raping German women. And it's sickening. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the segments of history I've learned about after the bombing of Dresden in Germany.
One of the biggest war crimes ever, and it's hidden from most. And then, you know, they're all still proud, like they did the world a favor, like their uncle or their grandpa did somebody. They didn't do any of us a favor. They sold us out. And they should be saying that.
Darnell, can we hear?
Hey, Will. Sorry, Darnell. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Huh?
I'd love to hear your story. How did you become aware of this? What was your just kind of starting from?
Yeah, that'd be great to hear.
Where you started to wake up. Love to hear this.
Coming from Milwaukee, which is a strongly Democratic city, I grew up in a household where two black parents. Day in and day out, were telling me basically the evils of the world were caused by white people. And as they were telling me this, I was going to school, you know, predominantly black schools, and I was getting bullied, I was getting spat on, I was getting punched in the face, you know, just being kicked around like a can. And then I would go home and let my parents know, and that was like, I grew up in a foster home, but I was adopted. And I would let my adopted parents know what was going on. Day in and day out, I'm like, can you do something about it? I'm getting picked on. And instead of them coming to do something about it, they were basically explaining the way by saying, look, you know what? Just tell the principal, tell the teacher. And it was just going through this day in and day out. But as soon as they tell me, you know, what to do, to tell the teacher, and I was getting bullied by my own race, you know, I would listen to them day in and day out blame white, you know, for the destruction of the black community. And this was going on since I stepped foot in their home in 93 up until 2005 when I became old enough to leave the house. But they were consistent in making sure that I just saw the world through their eyes and that, you know, the way blacks are going is because of the white man. So in the home, I was being told, look, you know what? You're not going to make it because you're black and the world sees you as black. And that's it. But then I would go to school, and I was treated as if I was a white person, getting beat up, getting bullied, getting cursed out, you know, getting into fights, because I was raised different. So it was like I was experiencing two opposing worlds, you know, it's the white man's fault at home, but we were, I was treated, you know, like what I was taught in history, in my history classes, about how whites were treated black. I was basically treated like garbage for my own people. So it's like, I had no other choice but to wake up, and it's like, you know what? This is not making any sense. I'm being told that I'm being threatened by whites, but yeah, I go to school and I get beat up by my own race. What is really going on here? So I guess when I got on my own in 2005, you know, I was on the internet and I was trying to look for like-minded people who would express the same experiences that I was. And I just stumbled on, just by chance, something told me to look up Adolf Hitler, and I did. And that's when I found out the greatest story never told. And it's like, that was the biggest red pill for me, because after everything came about, I learned about the Illuminati. I learned about the mysticism as well, because I was at one point in time a pagan. And then I understood that, you know, all the stuff that we've been told is pagan actually comes from Jewish mysticism. So I started connecting the dots after I found out about the greatest story never told, Illuminati, the Freemasons, the banking cartel, the student debt crisis, the foreclosures and the recession in 2008, who was causing it. So all these dots are appearing one after another, and I started connecting them. And then I learned who was behind all this. And then finally, one of the biggest elements that contributed to my awakening of the Jewish problem was Brother Nathaniel Carpo. He's an Orthodox, I believe an Orthodox. Yeah, Brother Nathaniel Carpo. So he's the one, as a Jew, exposing all these other Jews, and he just really, really opened my eyes to it.
Yeah, we like him. Right on.
That's cool. Right? Brother Nathaniel Kapner.
Oh, Kapner, okay.
Yeah, I Brother Nathaniel. Just call him Brother Nathaniel. I think that's what everybody calls him. Yeah. So you were saying the black-on-black crime, which, you know, of course, you experienced that yourself, basically, and that black people were the biggest haters of black people, is what you were saying. That's
yes,
what
absolutely.
You were being told, evil whitey, evil this, and you're being picked on.
Absolutely.
And,
on point.
Okay.
On point,
that's,
exactly.
Wow.
So living with that contradiction just really, I had no other choice but to open my eyes.
You're all living with that contradiction. Darnell, what, you can, right? You, and I'm sure you try to point it out all the time, but everybody, all black folks are living with that contradiction that they have to deal with right now, because the entire media is telling them that they're a victim, and victim this, victim that, victim that. And yet, you know, that's...
They're telling us black people that it's their job to attack white people for Jews.
Yeah.
But you know who's behind it? I was going to say, if you look at the MK Ultra techniques, the high amount of sensationalism, repetition, sensationalism, and...
Interesting.
Yeah, and the strategy of, what's it called? Problem reaction solution. And so you mix those elements together, and this is what the media is creating. This is what the history books are created. This is what Hollywood created, Jewish-only Hollywood. They're all in tandem.
Fake reality.
To create this illusionary reality that blacks are always under some sort of oppression. When it's just imaginary, it's basically intangible, and it's actually helped blacks, to ignore physical reality, and objective reality. So, and then on top of that, when you got the single mother home, we got majority of the civil rights activists who are working with the Communist Party USA, who are ran and controlled by Jews, by the way. Just about almost every black civil rights leader had training from the Communist Party of the United States of America, who was financed and ran by Jewish leaders. I forgot who their names were, but Michael King Jr., who's public name is Martin Luther King Jr. He was the biggest, well-trained communist of the civil rights era.
Yeah, and they put him up like he's the big hero of black people and should be this great example to be. Like how they do with Einstein, how they act like Einstein, you know. They want us worshiping them, just the most worst possible people. Churchill, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The worst possible people you could have, and they're supposed to be our role model.
Yeah. So that could be
right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Candace says, this is clown world. Here's what she wrote: was Candace Owens, the number one violent offenders against black people are other black people. The number one violent offenders against Asian Americans are also black people.
But both Black Lives Matters and Asian Lives Matter are campaigns dedicated to stomping out white supremacy because clown world.
And here's what I talked about Black Lives Matter. Their leader, she's Jewish, but also it's found out that she's one of the main ones who was the advocate or the voice for Black Lives Matter. She's been exposed in that she's selling Cadillacs to her own people. Cadillac cars to her own people.
What do you mean? Like she's doing what she's embezzling somehow, or
She's using an organization to embezzle the money from every liberal person out there, and she's paying these Democratic, she's paying these Jewish Democratic organizers all this money. Now, in the past 10 years, it's been reported that they've actually generated or garnered $7 billion. And their donation link is connected to the ActBlue or ActNow website, and you'll find out where the money's going to.
Oh, really? They let you follow the money around? How far do they let you follow you till it's those?
For 10 years they've been just drawing money, just fleecing the population, using emotions and chaos just to finance, you know, these Democratic leaders.
Okay, Darnell, what's going to happen if
you're breaking up. I can't hear you.
Yeah, we could.
What do you think will happen if there's an innocent verdict?
If that's the case, then they're going to promote more rioting. They're going to promote it. It's an emotional play, you know. Mm-hmm. It's an emotional tension. They're using this to get people riled so much that to take away their focus from the real matters, like the pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline, where 11,000 people were laid off. So they're trying to divert that attention from them to get people so emotionally invested. And if they find them innocent, then, of course, they want people to react in a negative way. So, you know, no George Soros, who's been funding Black Lives Matter, who's been funding promotion of this organization, he's probably going to fund more riots. He's going to fund more chaos. And then he's going to get people who are emotionally invested to do, you know, just follow the leader. That's what I see. And it's all the cards are on the table. There's no other way to see it.
Right. So so if they come back guilty, I mean, I guess they may not be right. I mean, how much writing are they going to do? They got rid of Trump, so the writing doesn't have to be the same as it was before. But I think you're right. I think they still need it.
Yeah, it's to get people emotionally invested. So they're playing an emotional card against people just to keep them distracted and invested. When the energy after the report started, after George Floyd was, you know, presumed dead and everything, so they don't have that emotional energy to distract people like they did before. But if they find that, look, you know what, people aren't as emotionally invested as they were before, so they're going to sit there and make it a huge scene. Oh, he's been found innocent. So that's going to rile people up. So it's just an emotional play, but people don't see it through. They don't see it that way. Like, I'm completely aware of all this. We're being played like a fiddle.
Mm-hmm. All of us are.
They know what they're doing. They're pushing buttons. They're ready to push the big button if they find that people aren't as emotionally invested like they were before when George Floyd was supposed to die from...
What's the big button?
They find it innocent, and then all hell...
That's the big button,
yeah. Yep.
What do you think, Willie?
I think finding them innocent almost... That's the right thing because I believe he is innocent. He didn't murder George Floyd. But it's gonna really benefit them because they're gonna start screaming white supremacy. That's why he's not. That's why he didn't get convicted. He didn't get convicted because it's a white supremacist society. So bring it all down. Go burn down everything now.
Here's my two cents on the topic. when George Floyd died, right, those three cops, they're all wearing light blue shirts, right? Those are the same light blue shirts that you would see police actors wearing in Law and Order or other cop shows. Real police officers do not wear light blue shirts. They wear all dark. Yeah, in real life. So that's another point. I caught on to that. It's like, you got three police
officers. Are you saying crisis actors? Are you saying crisis actors, Darnell? Okay, okay, okay.
That's very possible. That's very possible.
It really is.
I mean, all of these, the stage shooting, like Parkland was clearly a completely orchestrated stage shooting.
Right.
If you've ever read Jim Fetzer's book, he breaks so much of it down that you go, man, you know, even on CNN, it was like all these weird anomalies, yet people still think that it wasn't, you know, that it was organic. Same with,
I think very many of those
same
are.
With
Yeah,
Jewish privilege is being able to throw Whitey under the bus at will without even, you know, having to create a very good story that has bulletproof at all.
They're not even good stories. You're right.
That's Jewish privilege is to throw Whitey under the bus for Jewish crimes. You know, and maybe get away with it for so long that they're just
slavery.
So
there you go, slavery. That's a great example, right there. That was Jewish crime.
Slavery.
You know,
and then they blame white, but whites. They blame white, but the thing is, this.
They were Christians. There were no Christian slave ships.
They
were
not Christians.
No, they were Jewish.
They're Jewish. It's just like they're English Jews. They're English Jews because
right.
Let me point this fact out to you. If you look at the last days of about almost every black person in America, it's English, right? So most of the population, the white population in America, most of the white population in America is actually German or Irish or Polish descent or Slavic descent. They're not English descent.
That's a great point. You don't see them with those kind of names, Irish names or, you know.
German names.
German, Italian even. So it's always English. So then they were a bunch of cryptos probably for the most part. They were, you know. Yeah.
Crypto
We've
dudes,
seen
right.
their names. I mean, the people like Dr. Tony Martin, he did, and of course Reverend Louis Farrakhan, they've actually like pulled up the names of the ships and the owners and all that stuff. They have that in their research.
Say, Gregory, I have a question for your guest, Darnell.
Yeah, Richard. Darnell, that's the producer, Richard.
Hi. Hey, Richard, how are you doing?
Hi, good. I'm enjoying your conversation here. A lot of people have talked about the Rastafari movement. Many say it was more a political movement than a religion, but many, point out the strong nationalist and relatively traditionalist aspects of it as being a threat to world Jewry. And I'm just wondering if you think it was hijacked at any point by Jews, and what are your thoughts on Marcus Garvey? I mean, was he aware of Jewish power?
Yes, he was. I read a story about Marcus Garvey a little, I don't know how well back, but I still remember it. He actually was set up by his own people. He was set up by other blacks because he was actually exposing the Jewish network. And he learned that, you know, when he talked about the Jewish network that was happening in the community, they sent other black
like
people to arrest it. Yeah, absolutely. So the Marcus Garvey and the Jews, that's a little bit of what I know. Now, going back to the Rastafari movement, I don't know much about the Rastafari movement, but the image of the Rastafarians about them smoking weed, I do believe that's hijacked by the Jews. I certainly believe that.
Okay. That would make sense.
It's like, no one understood the Rastafari movement until they associated it with weed. And
that's the only thing I ever know about it. What else is there to know about it?
Not much.
I
don't know anything about it.
Yeah, right.
So you can listen to some of Bob Marley's songs, right? You can get some idea some of the things.
All right, well,
that were going on.
All right, well, I appreciate that.
Peace and love movement. Yeah, I mean, Richard, right on.
Yeah, thanks. Well, Gregory, I guess you got a few more minutes here. We got, I don't know, maybe like 5 minutes or so. If you guys want to have some final words, sir.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna put Darnell on the spot right now. We want you to come back, Darnell, as much, you know, a little more frequently than that, because you got a whole lot to contribute during the way these times are right now, and these subjects are, right up your alley. So we'd love to have you back on again, soon, real soon.
Okay. Yeah, very soon. Let's try to get you back on sooner than later.
I mean, like, even if you're not busy next week, because we can have a longer show next week, and you could really, you know, if you wanted to prepare for anything, too, because this week, you know, we're done in about 5 minutes here. So, I mean, if you're not busy next week, we would love to have you back.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And I'm going to look up some more information about it. So I'm going to think of the questions you guys can ask. So I'm going to do as much research as I can between the relationships of blacks and Jews, and I'm going to expose everything. I know that the Jews are behind the communists and the Marxist ideologies that they're implementing on blacks, so I'm going to dig more into that.
Yep. Great. Anything that you want to talk, that would be fantastic. So good. So next week, let's do it on Monday night, because tonight we had to cut short, and I think, like you said, we're just getting started digging, and this time right now with this trial going on, and with interesting how it could be crisis actors, that's very interesting. Because you know what, I've never seen light blue. I know a lot of PD, and I've never seen any police department in light blue except on TV.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's definitive proof for
anything. That's an interesting point.
It really is.
Yeah.
So, of course, it is a crisis actor.
Yeah, I've been in 17 cities, and just about all the police just wear the same color dark navy uniform. So I definitely, you know, am convinced that it is a crisis acting. Guy who's lived in 17 cities, several Republican cities, it's like throughout the whole United States, they just wear this dark blue navy uniform.
This prediction that it could possibly be a innocent verdict is possible then, because you know, if you're saying that it's crisis actor, that would be the purpose of it right there, is to deliver something like that.
So I think this is a point where they're trying to measure how much emotionally invested people are. If they know that there's a huge amount of people emotionally invested, that the media knows that they got people still under control. If not, if there's this less reaction, less responses, then they'll push that button, say he's innocent, and then, you know, all chaos is expected to come, you know, just point blank.
Well, that's why we'd love to really have you keep going with this and stay on the show as like a contributor for a minute, because this is really, this is the important stuff that's going on out there with this. And we need a liaison between, I mean, there's nothing more important than solidarity between the races, between us all standing together. And that's what they fear most. They don't want us all banding together
and they want us all divided.
Of course they want us all divided.
They want us fighting each other.
Yeah. Right.
They want to be angry, scared, hateful, confused.
Yeah,
so
if you got some time on these Monday nights for a little bit during this time of crisis, which I believe that that's what we can call it, really love to have you. Anyway, okay, good. That's great. So I don't know, I guess it's time. Anybody else got anything? I don't know how much time we got left. I'd have to ask Richard.
No, that's about it. Yeah, well, I look forward to that. That'll be great.
So Darnell, keep in touch with me, you know, and then we'll have for like next week, and we'll definitely have you on next week. And you don't have to commit to long term or anything. Let's start with next week, but we definitely want you on for sure because of what's going on right now.
I
have one question. So you mentioned the secret relationship between blacks and Jews, the book by Louis Farrakhan. I have that book, and I got The Jewish Onslaught by Tony Martin. Tony Martin's the one who opened me up to that book. And I said, Tony Martin is so fun to listen to. He's really he's entertaining because he's like got such a great sense of humor. And rest his soul.
A cool accent.
Yeah. It's just so funny. Like, he really is funny, like, the way he describes some of what's going on. He's talking about, like,
I decree.
How did he die, Willie? What happened to him?
Well, they probably took him out. I mean,
that's
always,
what I'm saying, man.
Yeah. It's always something you can't prove, and
right,
you know,
of course.
He was 70, right? He was 70 years old.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, people die. That's for sure. Right. It's not everything. Not everything is Jewish conspiracy, but
yeah. From what he
too many of them though.
But they were just constantly, you know, just assaulting him in one way or another.
Oh, I'm sure.
So for like a good part of his life. So I know that took a toll at the very least.
Of course.
And you know. But you don't want to just make assumptions. You don't have proof of it or whatever, but it's okay to speculate still.
All right, well, great.
Anyway, yeah, so
in Domino's, we're going to have to...
Have you read that book, Darnell? Have you read that book?
No, I haven't. What's
it's
the name of it?
The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews by Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah.
Oh, I've not heard of that book, so I am going to look it up, and I'm going to see if I can read it online.
Okay.
Yeah,
actually,
you'll find
it
online.
Send it to you.
Yeah,
it is online.
Can you guys exchange number? Hey, or can we put Darnell in our group text?
Yeah.
Because okay, Darnell, we're going to put you in our group text of the radio hosts that are on, that we do, and we'd like to have you come in and, because like I said, I mean, I really want you to, as a contributor, as much
that's
as
all right with you, Darnell.
If that's okay.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Okay, cool, we'll do that.
Excellent.
All right, I'll throw you in there. All right, so I guess we're out, as like always, don't believe what you're not allowed to question, and we'll see everybody next week. Thank you.